Hey guys, this is Daddy Loker from Nuclear Assault, and you're listening to That Metal Interview Podcast.
And welcome one more time, That Metal Interview Podcast with your friend James. We completely welcome you and appreciate your company on whichever format is of your preference. And I got a couple of words, and this will give away, maybe it'll give away our next guest. Speak English or Die. SOD, he was a member of Anthrax in the beginning. He's a member of Nuclear Assault, was a member of Brutal Truth, amongst other projects. And anyways, we are talking about Danny Loker. Dan Loker is an extraordinary bassist, legendary in the metal thrash world for sure. And he's going to talk to us about the retirement and the end of Nuclear Assault. Now, how sad is that for us metalheads? That's just completely sad and messed up news that we don't want to hear, right? So for all of you Nuclear Assault fans, this is just horrible news, but there might be a small light at the end of the tunnel. So check out the interview right here. Don't go anywhere. Let's check out my favorite jam from Nuclear Assault, going back to 1989, Brainwashed. We'll be right back. Thrashing Mad, Mr. Loker on the bass with Nuclear Assault, Brainwashed off of the record, classic record, who doesn't know Survive, and of course their first album, Game Over, who doesn't know that album. And anyways, let's talk to Danny Loker of Nuclear Assault, Stormtroopers of Death. Enjoy. So you're in Rochester, you said?
Uh-huh.
Cool. So how's the weather up there?
Well, I mean, for us, we consider this hot. It's in the 80s, but it gets cold as hell here in the winter, so it's kind of like a trade-off. You know, we don't get brutal humidity or anything like that, like you guys probably deal with. But sorry, I'm gonna go to another room here because my wife's on a work call, so I'm gonna go over here where it's quiet. Cool.
So first of all, congrats on your music metal career so far.
Well, thank you very much.
I've been a fan since I first saw that Brainwashed video on Headbangers Ball back in the day. I went out there, you know, about the cassette. I said cassette.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you're giving away your age too. But then again, yeah, I mean, I'll be 58 next month, so
yeah,
you know,
you're still young. Yeah,
you fucking do keep at it until your body falls apart. Whatever, you know, I'm not going to stop being metal. I'm not going to all of a sudden say I grew up or something. So
did that album bring the band more attention and I guess more gigs or, you know, more media? What was different there with Survive?
Survive? Well, I think it's just by then that was our second full length, because you wouldn't count really the Plague as one. In fact, that ended up getting bundled with Game Over later anyway. I think at that point we were signed to IRS Records on that album, which didn't work out that well eventually, but the upshot was they were kind of like a major label at the time, and, you know, they saw these other bands like Metallica and Slayer, blah, 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 were snapping up thrash metal bands. So they wanted to see what it was like. So they, of course, gave us like a nice budget, so we were able to spend like a month in Hollywood recording the record, and they were able to promote it. But, you know, being a major label, I don't think they really knew how to promote it well. They didn't have the right underground connections. But, I mean, I'm not talking shit about them. I just think there was just like maybe it was a mismatch. But also, with the bands, by then, we'd been jamming for a while, so we were really gelling as like a touring unit and writing music. So I think we were just, progressing, evolving as a band. So I guess people noticed, I don't know.
Yeah. There's a song on there on Survive by the name of F Sharp. And I believe it's called F Sharp because I had an argument with a friend of mine. He believes it's called F pound sign. And but
no, it's not.
I play guitar myself, so I was like, no, it's got to be F sharp because the song's in F sharp and it looks like an F sharp, right?
Well, you'd be correct, and you could tell him he's wrong. F pound sign. I mean, what the fuck would that be? I don't know,
right? I guess non musicians will be look at it as a pound sign, but yeah,
I suppose so. Yeah, they probably just think it's something, on a phone or something.
Yeah, a phone thing.
Yeah.
I saw you guys get on stage a couple of days ago and weeks ago. How was that UK Death Fest for you guys and that Psycho Las Vegas gigs?
Those were both really good. Psycho is something we got kind of put on with a month's advance notice because Violence had dropped off and they just wanted to get another source of boots with a common friend. The promoters reached out and got us to do that. And the funny part is, I was going to that anyway. I was just going to go because I wanted to see Merciful Fate, Mayhem, and bands like that, you know. So, yeah. Next thing you know, we're on the bill. So now I'm going to go and whatever. Now we get a free hotel room. So that works. And then London, the UK Death Fest, we only got back from that like 3 days ago because that was just last week. This time last week,
yeah.
I was over in the UK and we played on the Saturday, so we played less than a week. And that was really killer too, because I think that was pretty much our last show, man. You know, we've been trying to hang it up for a while, but people won't let us go. I mean, I know that people still want us to hear Nuclear Assault and everything like that. It's just, we're getting a little old, and I don't know. It's different. I just don't enjoy touring like I used to. Like flying ain't what it used to be. You get fucked around in airports all the time, and I'm really impatient. So, you know, if I'm my flight's delayed or the stress, like your base didn't make it for some reason, you know, that shit's getting old. Like me, yeah.
I hear you, yeah. I mean, no, you guys are still young. I mean, I guess 70 or 80, like Mick Jagger, I think, I see it, that is older, but okay. I see what you're saying, yeah. Is that the reason for the retirement of the band, or is it another reason?
It's just, I don't know, it's just, it's hard to explain because some of it's stuff that we don't really discuss outside the band or anything, but it's really just, you know, it's hard now because, you know, John, our frontman, he's a high school teacher.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's really hard for him to get away. So, you know, obviously he could get, you know, school vacations in the summer, but, you know, he's also got a family, and, you know, just because it's summer and he doesn't have to teach doesn't mean he's going to run away for a month and not be able to just go do normal vacation shit with his family and everything. So it just gets, you know, more complicated like that. He's been doing that for a while now. So obviously he has a school teacher schedule, and he cannot take off from that. They have a very strict, you know, vacation thing with the New York education system. So that alone is a big reason that it's really hard to do it.
It would have to be a fly-in, fly-out thing on a Saturday, maybe, so he can get back to work. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, then that ties you back into the shitty flying, always delays, cancellation. You saw all the shit on the news this summer. You know, 500 flights delayed before Labor Day. So when you have to cut it that tight, when you got to thread that needle, so we, let's say we're playing L.A. on a Saturday night, he would have to fucking get out of school Friday and then, you know, fly out Friday evening. If that flight gets messed up, now we're in, like, oh, shit, love, you know, so... makes it just, it's trickier than it used to be when we were all, you know, young free spirits or whatever.
When you're 25 or 20,
Well, I think we pretty much said we just did the last show, man. And the thing is, if I keep saying, oh, we'll do this and that, then, and then drips and drabs like that, we really have to fucking draw the line. I mean, if that changes, then it changes. If you hear about us just doing other shit, then you got my number and go, hey, dude, you said you weren't doing this, and now you are. But... we pretty much said, like, we have to, like, just start saying, dude, that's going to be it. So, I'm going to tell you that now. And, you know, if anything changes in the future, it does. But, you know, we have to, like, draw a line somewhere, dude.
Yeah, I understand. So, what's your favorite song to play live?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Well, we don't play it all the time, but we did it the last two times. Radiation Sickness. It's on Game Over, and it's just straightforward, dirty, like, sounds like a black thrash song, if anything. Just fucking heads down, fucking go for it, all these B-flats and Fs, and just full of energy. Never stops, no slow parts. Just a very energetic song and real fun to fucking play.
Yeah, awesome jam, yeah. So, for people that don't know and asking, how was Nuclear Assault born? Whose idea was that, and why the name?
Well, I formed the band with John back in February of 1984 because I had just been thrown out of Anthrax, and not for a good reason, mind you. That was more about the first singer, Neil Turbin. But the upshot was, all of a sudden, I'm without a band, and I'm just getting into all this more intense stuff that I've been playing with Anthrax anyway. By then I was getting into like Hellhammer and Discharge and stuff like that, so I'm like, well, I'm not in the band anymore, however, I'm going to turn fucking Lemons into Lemonade and form my own band to do something a little more intense. And it was called Nuclear Assault, which is funny because an assault, if you think about it, is really something that one person does to another, you know, like you can fucking assault battery or something like that. There's no such thing as like just a nuclear attack, but that just made it more unique, calling it Nuclear Assault, because, you know, that doesn't actually make sense. But it was just supposed to be something that was powerful yet realistic. And that's why we went for that.
Yeah, badass. Badass name. I saw one of your interviews where you speak of the reason why you departed from Anthrax. And you mentioned Neil Turbin, right? So he was the one that decided on that, or was it Scott?
Well, he didn't really decide. He just kept fucking insisting on it. It's him or me, it's him or me, and they had to make a call. Like, and even though I'd written most of the first record, it was decided at the time that it was more important to keep the familiar front man, you know, the face of the band at that point, right when the record was coming out, which was ironic because then they threw him out 7 months after me.
So, wow.
I think that's pretty much why Scott and Charlie called me and asked me to do SOD, because I kind of felt like, well, we can't put it back in Anthrax, but let's do this fun little punk rock bands, and then that kind of exploded.
Oh, man, I love that album, Speak English or Die, So, did you expect that kind of success with SOD, that album right there?
Oh, hell no. We just thought it was just going to be a fun little fucking goofy ass thing. We were just giggling, writing the lyrics. You're like, what's that dot on your head to use? We were just fucking trying to be as obnoxious and provocative as possible with the lyrics, but taking the music very seriously. And we had no fucking idea it was going to just blow up like that. Nope.
Yeah, it was a theme. It was a theme song for Headbangers Ball, right?
They kept chopping it up. That's why it's all those weird little edits, so they didn't have to pay us. If it's less than 7 seconds of the same thing in a row or something like that, it's royalty free. So that's why it sounds a little choppy too.
That was a badass promotion for you guys there. That's how I heard of SOD through MTV.
Well, it definitely helped. Yeah, I'm not complaining about what they did. It's just funny that, you know, they found some way to cheat motherfuckers to do it without giving us any money.
Right.
Yeah.
So I understand Anthrax still used some of your riffs after you left, you know, in NFL and I forget which other song on there. I think on the Spreading the Disease or Among the Living, right?
I think it's on that one. Yeah, there's a couple of riffs on each album. I Am the Law.
I Am the Law.
NFL. Yeah.
Is that correct?
I Am the Law. I can never remember them now, but... there was going to be some SOD stuff after we thought there was going to be a second SOD album, so me and Scott started writing it, and then those riffs never got used, so Scott might have grabbed a couple of those and fucking forgot that I had written one or something. Or there might have been stuff where, before I was on Anthrax, we started writing more music because we'd already done Fistful of Metal.
Yeah.
And then that shit got used. So sometimes I had to track them down and go, hey, remember, I fucking wrote that. Please give me credit. And sometimes they just did it anyway.
So yeah.
Sometimes I just fucking hear it and go, well, we did the SOD record, man. It was right after Anthrax had recorded Spreading the Disease in the same studio. So we were up there in Ithaca recording the SOD record, and they were listening to mixes of Spreading the Disease with Johnny Z in some conference room. And I stuck my head in. I fucking frowned and looked at Scott and said, that's my riff. He goes, oh yeah, we should fucking probably give Daddy credit for that. And I'm like, yeah, you probably should.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, shit like that. Yeah.
Wow, you were there in the 80s. You were part of that whole thrash movement, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth, the Big Four. You're part of that. How does that feel? You were there at the inception of thrash metal.
I'm really proud to participate in all that, man. It's very flattering, that's probably not the right word, but I'm definitely, you know, proud to have been involved in, you know, the start of all that stuff. You know, I mean, I don't have a big ego like I'm somebody fucking special, but, you know, I can say that it's fucking cool that I was a part of that stuff. And it's just a cool feeling, you know. We didn't have any blueprint back then. We just heard some other shit and said, let's just do that, but faster. I don't know.
Wow. It's just an honor, you know. You can say that. I can't say that. I wasn't a part of the 80s. I was there with, you know, listening to cassettes, but I wasn't a part of it. You got that honor right there, so that's awesome. And congrats.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, congrats on that. As far as SOD, are you still in contact with Billy Milano?
No, I haven't spoken to him in years. I don't know what's up with him. Ain't he down in Austin? Where are you?
He's in Austin, I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've lost touch with him mostly.
Now, here's a weird question. Of course, Nuclear Assault wouldn't exist if you stayed with Anthrax. What do you think would be different if you would have stuck around with Anthrax? And
one of these hypothetical questions. Oh, shit. Well, that would be difficult, man, because Anthrax kind of morphed into something after they threw me out, where it was really just Charlie wrote a lot of the music and Scott wrote a lot of the lyrics. And that's pretty much how it worked. And I don't know where I would have fit in that.
Yeah.
You know, in Nuclear Assault, I was one of the prime songwriters for John. You know, and I like writing music, and I think me getting into fucking hardcore and black metal and shit like that, then that would have ended up being a problem, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think at that time, those guys, especially when I got Joey, were going in a more commercial and polished direction, and that would have been a problem creatively for me, and they probably would have said, yeah, dude, you might as well fucking do it. I don't think this is going to work. Or I would have said, I don't think this is going to work because I don't want to play this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not like their stuff was shitty. And, you know, and on Among the Living, they started bringing back those, you know, fast thrash beats and stuff a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But I think it's also that I'm not a control freak, but I do like to fucking write a lot of the stuff I play.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have had that opportunity. So,
yeah, probably. It's just a hypothetical question, like you said. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Nuclear Assault and Brutal Truth and all your projects. You know, I like all that stuff.
Oh, cheers, man. Yeah. Oh, no, it's definitely, it would have been interesting, but it probably wouldn't have lasted.
Yeah. So back to SOD, will we ever see another album as far as SOD goes?
I don't think so. I mean, this one dude who doesn't want to do it, we were just talking about him.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
How about any update with Hemlock?
Wow. That's a good left field one. Hemlock existed, at least with me in the band, from, I think, 1995 or 6 to 2001.
Yeah.
And that's when we broke up. But I moved up to Rochester the year after that from New York City. This is where my wife's from.
Yeah.
And I played a couple of bands up here, and one of them was a black metal band called Nocturnal Hellstorm, with an N-O-K. And you can find that shit on Spotify, or just think our singer used to have a Facebook, so I still kept playing, you know, underground, like black and death metal and all that stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
But Hemlock's been done for over 20 years.
It's gone. Okay.
Yep.
How about Holy Moses or Brutal Truth? Anything there?
Holy Moses, I was just a guest member. So yeah. I was just doing one thing with them once in a while. Brutal Truth's been done since 2014.
Yeah. Okay. Some fans are asking, so you never know, right? It doesn't hurt to ask.
Oh, no, don't.
Yeah. So what's next for yourself and Nuclear Assault? You think that's the last gig? The UK Deathfest? That was it?
Yeah. I believe that's going to be the last gig, and because we wouldn't be recording anymore anyway, that would probably be the end of the band. And as far as what I would do, well, there's a lot of really gifted musicians in Rochester, so I would probably, having toured so much and done all the shit I've done in my life, be content to keep just playing metal, but, you know, it's not fair to all you guys, but I would probably just want to do it here in my little neighborhoods, you know, just the kind of thing where you can play a show and then go home and sleep in your own bed. So that's not to say that I might not do stuff that people would end up hearing, as far as maybe jamming and recording and having something released. But okay. I don't know about going out and touring the world anymore.
Yeah. So you're not retiring. You're just Nuclear Assault's retiring. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not actually retiring.
Yeah.
I'm not promising I'm going to do much anyway. I might just be lazy and fucking sit around and smoke weed and make weird music in my room. I don't know.
Yeah. Awesome.
Much better.
Now that you mentioned the voice, you sing some songs with Nuclear Assault. Maybe have you thought of singing a whole album by yourself, a whole record?
Oh, no. I just do backup vocals and live mostly, and then even that's just annoying. But I mean, I appreciate that's flattering, but no, I mean, I primarily have always been a bass player and a vocalist as necessary when called upon.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a lot of that in Brutal Truth, too, man. There's a lot of lows and highs and shit like that. But, you know, I'd rather just play, to be honest.
Cool. Would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
Yeah. I mean, especially now that we're Nuclear pretty much wrapping it up. I mean, I just want to give my heartfelt thanks and appreciation to everybody out there that supported everything I've ever done and everyone who supported metal in general. One thing I've never forgotten for the 40 years I've been playing music is that it would be impossible without all the people to support it and dig it and come out to the shows and just talk about how much they dig it, and even the financial shit like buy shirts and whatever stuff like that. But mostly just the sentiment, you know, that I've never forgotten, and this would be not have been fucking possible without people who gave a shit. So everybody out there listening right now, thanks so much for everything, and you're in my heart.
Wow. It's a sad message for the true fans of Nuclear Assault. I've seen many, many fans that are still wanting to see you guys, but, you know,
Never say never, but, you know, like I said, we're trying to just draw a line. Whether that line gets drawn, oh, now my cat wants to lick my face. Can we do this later, dude? I'm talking to the cat, not you.
Well, yeah, I got cats, too. Yeah, I appreciate that, Dan. Thank you for your time, and keep rocking. We'll be following your productions and your bands and projects and all that. I appreciate that.
All right, right on, man. Thanks for supporting. Take it easy, dude.
What an honor. And isn't that a very cool person right there, man? Danny Lilker, awesome bassist for Nuclear Assault. And there you go. He talked about the retirement of Nuclear Assault, although he left a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. So hopefully we'll get to see some more shows in the future from Nuclear Assault. And it sounds like he's just going to play local. But so anyways, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to share, download, like us on Facebook. Look us up, That Metal Interview, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, J-Rock's Metal Zone. We're Podvine, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, of course, amongst many, many, many other digital formats. So anyways, whichever your preference is, I truly appreciate your company. And one more time, thank you to Mr. Lilker. Great, great gentleman and an awesome thrasher on the bass, man. So thank you, Danny. And we hope to see you again on stage soon with Nuclear Assault, of course, and all of your projects. So everybody, support Mr. Lilker's, Danny Lilker's projects and bands in the future for sure. And don't forget to keep it metal. Interview.